I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of our visitors today. Thank you so much for being here. We pray that you would come back again if you get a chance. We hope that what we say here and what we do will be in accordance with what you have been worshiping as. This last song that was sang tells us just about everything we need to know about Jesus. And his name should be above all names. We know that for a fact. He was the Son of God. God was pleased with him. So before I begin my sermon, I just wanted to remind you of that. The lesson today will be a discussion on what's in a name and also man's think-sos. That's in quotes. Man's think-sos. First of all, I would like to start by turning to Romans 3 and verse 4. Let God be true, but every man a liar. This will be one of the themes throughout my lesson today. What is so important about the name of Jesus Christ and the name on the church? When we're discussing the name which should be on our church buildings, we're then discussing a Bible topic. So all of our discussion today will be based on solely what the Bible says. Because in the day of judgment, man's think-sos, quote unquote, man's think-sos will have no part in God's judgment. None whatsoever. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, it is written, He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Think about that. One of the most important subjects that we can study today is by what name should the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood be called? In Matthew 16 and verse 18, we will also read where Jesus was talking to Paul at this time. And because Paul, he had asked the disciples, he said, Who do you say I am? And they told him that he was Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus replied and said, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Common sense will tell us, when we read this one verse, that we shouldn't have any question about what name should be on the building. But as you know, there are many, many churches out there, and every one of them, it seems, it's called by a different name. Why? Listen carefully. If we were all truth seekers, it would be impossible for this to happen. My question is, how many degrees in education do we have to have before my church can be changed into many? What did Christ say? He said, I will build whose church? My church. Is men smarter than God? Don't think so. This discussion today should be just as plain and simple as a nose on your face. the words that are written in the Bible are true. God sent them down, and they was written down by the apostles. In Isaiah, back in the Old Testament, chapter 35 and verse 8, it was written to help explain some of these things about the education. And the highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Now think about that statement for a little bit. It came from the Old Testament, but it applies here also. Then again in Romans 3 and verse 4, which hopefully we'll use as a guideline, the number one guideline in the discussion today. In Romans 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says, God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar. Now the question is, why does Paul say this? The answer is found in the rest of the verse. That thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. This verse is of the utmost importance for us to remember. We should memorize this verse. And we should use it and let it be our guideline in all of our studies. If we don't, there's only one other course left to follow. And that is man's think-sos. Let that sink in a little bit. If you don't follow what is said here, man's think-sos take over. And that leads to spiritual death. Right now, this day and time, in the world, there's a religious movement going on that says and teaches, let's remove the name and everything from the church that offends other people. So if something offends someone in the church, then remove it. That's what they're saying. So all churches can be unified and worship together. Then it goes a little bit further. It don't just stop right there. It goes a little bit further. It says, let's remove Christ's name from our buildings. Because why? It's offensive to the denominational churches. So they're telling us, take Christ's name out of there. Get it off the building. So it offends people. Whose decision is this? Is it man's or God's? It's man's decision to take Christ's name off the building. It's his decision. How do we know this? Because it is not in the Bible. Something else that is also important about the name of a church that we will discuss, and we will not look in the books that men have written. We will only begin our search and end it in the Bible. Man's writings today, books they've written, speeches they've made, no need to listen to that. Listen to what the Word of God says. It's written in the Bible. It's plain, simple. God's wisdom will give us the answers. And many men out there today have successfully brought up things about Bible truth and tried their best to make them not so. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 4, I'm going to repeat this again, because it's something you need to remember. Let God be true, and every man a liar. That's exactly what we're going to do in this discussion. God's truth, men's lies. There's so much truth on this subject in the Bible that it's kind of hard to decide where to start. So I found another example here where Christ, his name is written over 500 times in the New Testament. That fact alone should let us all know how important Christ is to every open-minded, baptized, believing Christian. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it states, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Verse 24 states, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So we're looking for the truth. You're not going to find it in man's wisdom. It's not there. The importance that God places on truth is stated by Jesus in John 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, did we hear what Jesus just said on how important a name is? You can't get to the Father if you don't go through Jesus. Can't do it. Listen carefully to what this verse says. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the life. No man cometh to the Father but through the name of Jesus Christ. Now let that sink in for just a little bit. Think about it. So now, what does it mean, or what does it do, to remove Jesus Christ's name from our church building? What does it do to the church? The answer to that question is that it don't take any degrees of men in education to answer the question. It removes the way. It removes the truth, and it removes the life. What are we left with? It leaves a man-made church with no way, no truth, and no life. That means it is dead. This is what wisdom of man leads to. God is true. Man is a liar. Keep that in mind. In Luke 10 and verse 21, Jesus said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." In our present time, we can easily see where worldly wisdom is leading us, and that is away from Christ. Again, we go back to John 14 and verse 6. "No man can come to the Father except through me." That's what Jesus said. Why are you trying to take his name off your building? He purchased it with his blood. He died for us. Whew. What does this do to our prayer life if we remove the name of Christ from our building? The answer is found in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, where it states, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Now listen closely to this. In the name of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't remove him from the building. Okay? What does that do to our prayer life? If we keep believing this saying that you needed to remove his name. So what's in a name? We just read where Jesus says that no man can come to God in prayer except through the name of Christ. Now, that being said, wouldn't that mean that our prayers to God would get no higher than the ceilings of our building if we remove his name? You can't reach God unless you go through Christ. You take Christ out of the situation, your prayers go nowhere. Simple. According to the words of Jesus, his words are only hard to understand to those who refuse to hear his words. This is written in John chapter 8, verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. So when we're guilty of saying what's so important about the name a church has, let's think about other verses on the name of Jesus Christ. There's many of them. These are just a few that I've listed here. Matthew 16, verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 10. For one is your master, even Christ. John 1, verse 17. Grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. Acts 10, verse 36. Peace comes by who? Jesus Christ. Acts 15 and verse 11. Through grace we are saved by who again? Jesus Christ. Romans 3 and verse 24. Redemption is in who? Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 6. Jesus Christ died for us. There are seven statements right there about Christ, what he has done for us. So those that are removing the name of Christ from their building, apparently they don't read their Bibles very much. Because it's just as plain as a nose on your face. It's written. Why would anyone who is religious, baptized, and believes the Word of God be willing to wear any other name than the name of the one who died for him? It's unbelievable what men think and do today. I get a little emotional talking sometimes about this stuff because this really affects me. Okay, if we're hearing voices like this, what a great way to keep peace and harmony in all churches is to just remove the name Christ from all of our churches or all of our buildings. These voices are not coming from God. God did not say this. In 1 Peter 5 in verse 8. The statement is, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. With men's words. We need to have our minds programmed with the words of God. Pick up the Bible daily and read at least one or two verses. Program your mind with God's word. If we are not truth seekers, Satan will find a way to get into our hearts with the wisdom of men. He's out there looking. He's going to try to find a way. You must always be alert to the divisive ways of the devil. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 4, that his sheep hears his voice. Be one of Christ's sheep. Listen to his voice. Read his words. Study his words. Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. Eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Are we still listening? Romans 7, 24 through 25. We were delivered from the law of sin and death through Jesus Christ. Romans 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law. What law are we talking about here? The old law. Christ took it out of existence and was nailed to the cross with him whenever he was crucified on the cross. Romans 14, verse 10. Fact. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ in the end. So it's pretty important that we keep his name on our buildings. We keep his name in our heart. We always strive to do what Christ wants us to do. Okay, so now some of these people in the church at Corinth were doing some bad things. And since they were doing all of these things, Paul wrote an epistle to them trying to straighten them out. Now, how do you think that people today that remove the name of Christ from their buildings is going to feel? Could be like Jesus said in Luke 23 and verse 30. Jesus said, "Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us." First Corinthians 1, verse 24. Christ is the power of wisdom. First Corinthians 4 and verse 15. We are begotten by Christ. Matthew 3, verse 11. Jesus Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him. So, what kind of condition does this leave the person in that has removed the name of Christ from their church building? What kind of condition does that leave them in? If you start in 1 Corinthians and you read all the way through the first three chapters, you'll find out a whole lot of answers there. I'm not going to go through all of those right now. I'm just going to pick a few. Because he was talking to the church at Corinth on this subject. I will start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Now he's talking to the church in Corinthians. He's talking to the Corinthians here. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Why? For the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are. This still applies today. If you're a baptized believer, you believe in Christ, you are the temple of God. Do not defile it. Put yourself in danger. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Okay, so now we're talking about building. You going to remove Jesus from God's building? Think so? Man thinks those are really, really strange, aren't they? Listen to God. He's the truth teller. This is the most important question in the New Testament to answer. And that is, it's so important that the Holy Spirit of God has the Apostle Paul to use the first four chapters in 1 Corinthians answering this question. That's why I brought that up before. Read the first four chapters. That's all. It's all explained in there. It is of the utmost importance, as we begin reading, to remove everything that we have heard men teach on these first four chapters. Then listen solely to what Paul teaches. Notice that Paul mentions the name of Christ 10 times in the first 10 verses. How important is Christ to Paul? Apparently very important. Because he wanted to show them how important the name of Christ was compared to men's names. That's why Paul did this. That's why he wrote this. Now let's start off in, I'm going to read a few verses here. First, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, you Corinthians were sanctified in who? Christ. Verse 3, grace and peace came from God and Jesus Christ. Again, Paul chooses to say, the grace of God, which was given to you by Jesus Christ. Okay? We are enriched by him. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Verse 7, you Corinthians are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, that you may be blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 states, you Corinthians are called to fellowship by Jesus. Verse 10, Paul says, I beg you in the name of Christ that you all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among you. remain as one, in word and in deed. Paul brought all of these things to the attention of the church there and tried to help them correct their error of their ways. Christ is the only one, and not man, who has done all of these important things for them. So therefore, it has to be Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now let's notice one other fact that's written in there. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How long will these instructions from the Holy Spirit be in effect? Matthew chapter 24, verse 35 gives you the answer. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Pretty emphatic, right? So this means that these instructions given here by Paul will last till the end of the world. In every generation, it will always remain the same. The reason the Holy Spirit mentions the name of Christ 10 times in the first 10 verses is by no accident. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what He is doing, and He wants these Christians at Corinth to know just how important Christ is to the church. And then when He points out to them the error of their ways, it will be much easier for them to understand what He is saying to them. What is the error that the Holy Spirit wants to point out to the Corinthians? Answer, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. This is the first time in the New Testament that we can read and find denominational practices mentioned in the Bible. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Seems like a lot of divisions there. Let's remember what the Holy Spirit said in verse 10, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Then, in verse 13 of chapter 1, Corinthians, the question was asked, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Now we got to look at the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Paul's going to ask the Corinthians a few questions. The number one question that he asked is, Christ divided? Okay, this word divided in the Greek, according to Strong's concordance, means to part, to apportion, to disunite, to differ, or the difference between given parts. In the New World Dictionary, the word divided means separated into parts, disagreeing, differing in opinions. Both of these references come out with the same meaning. Was Paul crucified for you? Second question. Their answer to that question would definitely have to be no. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? According to what we just read, their answer would have to be no to the third question. How amazing it is that the Holy Spirit can settle a serious problem like this. All you have to do is read the scriptures and decide. So now, question comes, what's so important about the name that the church is called by? Do we really understand or know what men's problems today are? It seems to me that we put too much importance on the amount of degrees in education that certain men have. I've heard several people say that a certain person that they know has a doctor's degree in the Bible, and what he believes and teaches is good enough for them. Here we go. Man's think so's not good. Go back to Romans 3, verse 4. Let God be true, and every man a liar. I don't care how much education they got. They're not smarter than God. God's mind is like a tape recorder. He remembers everything. So let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, where it is written by Paul, where he says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." So Paul's not talking to these people through man's voice. It's through God's word. He's telling them, you know, the wisdom of God is a whole lot wiser than men's. Who are the called of God? Those who hear and obey and does his word. Who are those who answer not the call of God? Those who think that their think-sos are just as important as the words of God, and they refuse to obey it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 states that no flesh should glory in his presence. Don't let man step in there and try to take all the glory away from God. No. We've got to fight against that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31 says, "According as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Put the Lord first. Don't let man try to take all the glory away from Christ, because that don't work. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says to the Corinthians, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Because that's what Paul preached. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Holy Spirit says through Paul, "Let there be no divisions among you." That's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Question to you. Have we become so blind to the truth that we have become just like the church in Corinth? A lot of these churches out there apparently have done just what they did in Corinth. Don't be blind. Open your eyes. Can't see? Get you a pair of glasses so you can look around like I do. The Holy Spirit condemned them for their actions. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." Verse 5, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Don't put your faith in men. They cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ can. Put your faith in Him. If all the preachers had this same mind that Paul had and were as bold as Paul was, there would not be all of these denominations in the world today. There would be only one church, and it would be called by the name of the one whose name we were baptized in, the one who was crucified for us. And that name was Christ. Simple. So Paul continues talking to the Corinthians here in verse 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith," this is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Do you not follow after men? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave them to every man?" Verse 6. "I have planted," this is Paul talking, he said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Verse 7. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Verse 8. "Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one." Here comes that number one again. "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. There's building again. If you're God's building, why Jesus' name on it? Paul said, some of them planted and some of them watered, but they were all one in Christ. Paul is still talking about the name in which the church and obedient believers should use. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 states it pretty clearly. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Powerful verse. There is only one foundation for the church, and it was laid by Jesus Christ. So please, don't call yourself by some other man's name, because he did not lay the foundation for the church. Christ's the only one. All of these man-made names and stuff, be careful if you follow them. This comes down to basically tradition of men, okay? In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware. He's given us a warning. This word tradition in the Greek word study means teachings of men. Okay, now let's read from two verses that we've been discussing. Kind of go back over a little bit here. Won't be long, I'll be through. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Because Paul says that the Holy Spirit dwells in our temple, and the Holy Spirit is holy, so this would make our temple holy, would it not? Then what does Paul say will happen to us if we give some man the glory instead of giving God or Christ the glory for our holy temple? What does Paul say will happen to us? He said that will defile our temple of God. And if we continue doing that, God will destroy those who do this. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 21. Continuing in verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Verse 23 cleans it up. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Are we still listening to the words that God has to say? Are we letting the word of God go through one ear and out the other, and not letting the word into our hearts as Jesus said they were doing there in Corinth? Don't just let the word of God go in one ear and right out the other, and then when you walk out, you find out you hadn't learned nothing. We are Christ. That means we do not belong to men. So what name should we wear on our temple? Your body is the temple of Christ. What name should you place on that temple? The one that we belong to. That's who goes there. And Paul says that is Christ. Again, the Holy Spirit makes this very simple and plain. We should be learning the importance of what's in a name. It is my prayer that those of you that are listening and those of you who will read the scriptures that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us, that we will never let the devil belittle the name of Christ in our minds. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 states, "For Christ is our Passover lamb." What condition does it leave us in when we remove the name of Christ from our church buildings? We have just removed the only perfect sacrifice that takes away our sins. Remove Christ's name from your building. You just remove the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 10, verse 26. "For if we willfully after that, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." This is Hebrews 10, 26. Verse 27 states, "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Is that a little scary? I think so. Verse 28. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Verse 29. "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, which is Christ, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Another question. What is the difference in trodding underfoot the Son of God and removing the name of Christ from our church building? What's the difference? Answer. When we do this, we have removed the name of the one who tasted spiritual death for every one of us. It's found in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor." Now listen to the rest of the verse. "That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, it's written down. It says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you." Who was it that came and delivered us from this terrible condition? Who came and delivered us? Jesus. It was Christ. So the ones that are saying what's in a name are the ones who are removing Christ's name from their building and are beginning a movement that entirely removes the grace of God from a lost and dying world. In John chapter 4 and verse 42, we know that is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They just removing him as a Savior. I would not be guilty of encouraging this movement that is being started by men. And think about this. These men were at one time lost. And then through their obedience to this same Christ were saved. And now have turned against the very one and the very name of the person who loved them by suffering on that cross and shedding his blood for them. I gotta go back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6 as a reminder. Jesus said this: "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." It's pretty wise. This should help us to see what we're doing when we say, "What's in a name?" Men think so. And then, after you say what's in a name, you take the next step and you remove Christ's name from your building. That's belittling Christ. When are we open-minded, baptized believers going to become bold enough to take a stand against these bold ones who are trying their best to belittle the name of Christ? We need to stand up. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, some words from our Savior Jesus Christ, where he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to open shame. 2 Timothy, verse 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 2. Jesus Christ is the same person who was transfigured upon a high mountain, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And then God said some things about Christ, which are written down in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, where God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Do we have an open mind when that verse was read? If not, open your mind up. Let it sink in. God made three very important points here. Number one, God said, "This is my beloved Son." Number two, I, who? God, am pleased with him. Number three, he said, "Hear ye him." Listen to what he's got to say. Okay, while we're basking in the light of what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28, and then we read what God had to say about this man Christ, and then we hear cries from big-time religious men who have written many books and many degrees attached to their name, saying, "Remove the name of this man, Christ, from your church building." Really unbelievable that man can think that way. Why did these men say that this needs to be done? Because it is offensive to mankind. Christ was not offensive to God. Now we have a major decision to make. Will we let God be true, but every man a liar? Or will we let man be true and make God out a liar? As we all know, as we went over, it takes many degrees in education to come up with the wrong answer to this question. We've done one over that. Now let's read what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 6. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." What does the word blessed mean? In the Greek, it means receiving God's favor, fortunate. It is good to be in God's favor. And the last word is happy. How could man improve upon this? He can't. It'd be impossible. As for me and my house, the name of Christ will remain on our temple. So this teaching would make these preachers and teachers blind leaders. What does Christ say about that? Matthew 15, verse 14 is Jesus' response. He says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. And again, Christ is not through talking yet. Because in Matthew 18 and verse 6, he says, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be tied around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." There are many today who believe in Christ who are offended in this new movement that is spreading through the church. We need to think about this and stand up for Christ. Read in Matthew 18, verse 11. "The Son of Man, which is Christ, is come to save that which is lost." What are the lost going to think when they pass by our church building and Christ's name has been removed from it? Because those that are lost out there, they know who it is that can save them. They know it. Whether they act on it or not, that's up to us to get them in here. Brethren, what we should do is to let the lost know that we have not removed the name of Christ from our building. We should put the name of Christ up in flashing lights on our building so everyone who passes by will know that Christ is alive and well at this place. Again, praise the Lord for all the bold, obedient, baptized believers who are standing up against this movement. Matthew 13, verse 41. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them which do iniquity." Did you notice who was going to be removed from the church? His name was not Christ. It was those who offend other people. Why was Christ crucified on the cross? Because his message was offensive to some people. God did not say, "I will remove the name of Christ from the message and the offense will cease." But that's exactly what some men have done today. They have removed the name of Christ from their church buildings, and then they say, "The offense is now ceased." Why did the apostles die a violent death from the hands of men? Answer: because their message about a man whose name was Christ was offensive to some. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, before he was killed. He wrote this down. He stated, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." Verse 25, "Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." verse 26. In journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren. Verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Verse 28. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily is the care of all the churches. Paul went through a lot. He stood bold for Christ. So these people who are asking what's in a name are those who are removing the name of Christ from their building so that they can gain the fellowship of the denominational churches. Just take his name off there. You'll get favor from all these other denominations because you've just removed the one that can save you. Okay, question coming here, getting close. Where is our boldness? Where's our boldness at? Number two, where is our love for the truth? Are we truth seekers? Hope so. Where's our love for it? Three, what has happened to our care for Christ's church? What are we really saying to God when we remove Christ's name from our church building? What has happened to our shame? Men's shame. Christ wrote in, or said in Matthew 7 and verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now here's the think question. These two verses are telling us there are two ways in this life. Think about this now. Christ's way, man's think so's. Think about these two. One way is wide and broad, and many there be that travel that road. Who do you think he's talking about there? Man's wisdom will lead you down the broad path. The other way is straight and narrow, and few will travel it. But this way leads to life. Which way do you think when you expect to see the name of Christ removed from the church building that you're going to spend your eternity? Think seriously. There's many more verses and scriptures that could be used here, but if you'll continue too much longer, people will get a little restless and probably won't read it or listen. But it is my prayer that God will bless every one of you who have listened, hopefully with an open mind and a receptive heart. If you too have been offended by those who are saying what's in a name, or by those who have removed the name of Christ from their church buildings, then let's be just as bold as they are and stand up for Christ. If we don't, then the church that Christ built and shed his blood for will become just another man-made church. We've got to stand up for Christ. With that, I will leave the lesson with you. I hope and pray that the things that I've said here have entered into your heart. If you have any questions about anything that I have said, come and talk to me about it. We will look in the scriptures and find it. If there are anyone out there that needs our prayers, needs our help in any way, or needs to come to Christ, we will do everything we can to help you in that. Thank you so much for your attention, and I'll close with that.